This podcast is proudly brought to you by Octane Coffee, with locations on the West Side, Grant Park, the Pocket Bar in the Bank of America Plaza, and even the newest outpost in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information, please visit octanecoffee.com. I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonderroot Arts in Atlanta conversation. I have the pleasure today of being in the presence of two wonderful arts advocates on different sides of the house. Up first, we have Caitlin Bradbury, who is the Atlanta director of Raw Natural Born Artists, otherwise known as Raw Atlanta locally, as well as Margaret Cargbo, who is one of Atlanta's most well-known arts advocates. She's in a variety of spaces, as you will soon learn. But I wanted to have this conversation with you all because I felt like at Wonderroot here, we're always in this space where we're trying to present as many opportunities as possible for our artists to just understand the landscape locally and maybe even beyond that. So, Caitlin, I would love for you to give some background on what Raw Atlanta is doing right now and where you're trying to, I guess, grow into.
Perfect. So basically what our mission is to provide local, underground, kind of undiscovered, really emerging artists in specifically here, the Georgia area. And what we do is we try to provide them with a platform to really network and connect with one another, gain some more exposure and find that new audience. And the basic ways that we go about doing this is, of course, we have a huge showcase every other month that all of the artists that participate with us are invited in. They get to set up a display. It is a one-night event, but there's music, there's film, there's fashion, there's visual art, photography, a little bit of everything, food, drink, anything that your heart could possibly desire. And basically, we throw these big one-night showcases and just spotlight the amazing local talent that is around Atlanta and around Georgia in general. I mean, we had a fantastic show last night, and we had artists from Savannah. We actually had an artist from North Carolina come down and join us. We had about five different ones from Athens. So it's really, we're trying to find the local emerging talent in Georgia and really just, like I said, give them that platform to further themselves in their career, make those connections that can take them further and offer them new opportunities.
And Caitlin, you all have been around in Atlanta for really only about, what, 5 or 6 months now at this point?
We, Raw has actually been in Atlanta for just over a year.
Oh, okay.
I've been with Atlanta since November, but it's been on a new model since it was when we first started. So it's kind of been a big changeover. So we've been really making a bigger impact for about 6 months or so, yes.
All right. And Margaret Cargbo. Margaret, you are, I guess, as I mentioned before, one of our leading arts advocates in Atlanta, and you work in a variety of spaces. I know you're on the board of C4 Atlanta. You've done some work with the National Black Arts Festival and a lot of other organizations here locally. And I wanted you to be able to be in this conversation because I felt like you would give a great voice to some of the things that artists are working through as it relates to the business of art in terms of how they are crafting their art practice as a professional artist. And I would love for you to sort of give your perspective on where you see yourself and how you fit in this arts economy or ecology, if you will.
Okay. Well, I guess I could start by saying that my professional background is in marketing and public relations. So that's kind of how I started. And then I moved here to Atlanta from Washington, D.C. And I did get started working with the National Black Arts Festival, which really just opened up a lot of opportunities as well as put me back in a space where I realized this is actually where I needed to be. I love the arts. I've always loved the arts. And whatever it is that I can do based on my own trials and tribulations and a lot of experience of what not to do or what I've done and the things that I learned from it, I just found that as artists, we don't always take advantage of those things. And there are a lot of resources that are here in Atlanta that's being offered. And it's a matter of, do you know, and are you taking advantage of it? So I said for myself, look, I'm in this space. I love the work that a lot of the organizations are doing here. I was on the board of WRFG. So also in terms of activism, just making sure that I was building some type of presence for myself based on the things that I'm very passionate about. So from that point, it was like, well, then how do we merge all of this? And then I just discovered that there were so many places and people kind of on the forefront of making sure that the opportunities exist. But the flip side of that was that there weren't enough people actually taking advantage of it. So I feel like my role is really making sure that that information is made available a little bit more public, not that it's not available, but just getting it out to people, as well as connecting people to others who value a lot of the same principles that they have, and they're looking to kind of accomplish a lot of the same mission. So how can I connect the two dots? And because I've moved in a lot of arenas, I'm able to do that because a lot of people are having a lot of the same conversation, but they're not talking to one another. And since I'm a person who's in the middle and I generally am having these conversations with all these different people, my role is to connect the dots.
Margaret, let's start there with maybe some of your go-to places for artists to learn more information about that business side or just that development side. Give some really off the top of the head recommendations.
Well, I mean, obviously, one, I'm on the board of C4 Atlanta, and that's a beautiful story in itself because I actually started off in their pilot program, which is now called Ignite, which is an 8-week seminar for creative professionals who are looking to build a sustainable business plan for whatever their art might be. So I started off there, but C4 Atlanta would be a great resource. You know, yes, I will toot the horn on that because they are amazing. And what they offer for artists here in Atlanta is pretty incredible as well. And they're also very, very big arts advocates. So you have tech smarts. You need to learn anything in terms of like financial literacy. You know, you can. I just went to a session about blogging. Learning how to blog and how you might be able to monetize that particular skill. So all of those resources, they offer healthcare for artists as well, which is very affordable. And for a person who worked in the corporate and could not afford healthcare for quite some time, I mean, that's an amazing opportunity that a lot of artists should take advantage of. But of course, you would look at some of your more traditional places as well that sometimes people don't always look to. But there's OCA, Office of Cultural Affairs, which is through the city of Atlanta. So there are a lot of grants and opportunities that come out of there as well. Obviously, they fund a lot of things. There's Arts Georgia, Fulton County Arts Council, I think of some other. Well, okay, so if you're talking about also being in business, whether you're an artist or not, I think there's an art to everything that people do, particularly as entrepreneurs. So you have organizations and a lot of the co-working spaces now. So you have Next Atlanta, which was formerly Hub Atlanta. I just discovered another co-working space today. It's located at 200 Peachtree, but it's a co-working space as well. And then if you're into tech and maybe you're into tech and design or something along those lines, you have, you know, your Atlanta Tech Villages and you have Hippopotamus. And I mean, there are just a number of resources right here locally that people can take advantage of. And it will help you from a business perspective. It will help you in terms of networking. You might be able to find some venture capitalists to actually invest in your ideas. It's an opportunity to collaborate on things. So when you're talking about artists and, finding that raw talent, even when you're an artist and you're finding yourself or you're doing your thing, you need to have that business etiquette behind that as well. And so just taking advantage of some of these spaces and the people that you meet in those spaces. I will also say that I'm also a big proponent of volunteering. So you find organizations, you find companies, individuals that you like to work with, you volunteer your time because that can lead to a lot of opportunities as well. I mean, and that has opened up a lot of doors for me.
Now, Caitlin, as you are steering the ship for Raw Atlanta, what's been that like for you in terms of giving this platform to the artist that is both on a local level but also on a now international level?
It's been amazing. You know, for me personally, it has taught me that there are opportunities for people to do, like, to succeed in their dreams. I mean, this, not only have I been helping other artists, like, take those steps to succeeding their dreams, but they have been helping me to succeed mine as well. So it's just a complete energy exchange. You know, working behind the scenes, it's a lot of work. It's 2 months worth of prepping for each showcase. You know, it all begins with booking the artists. You know, I call them all individually. I could let them know a little bit about us. I always hear a little bit about them. I tell them, you know, everything that they'll get from being a Raw artist and just telling them all about the showcases. Then from that point, once we're all booked up, you know, we just kind of start promote. We do Artist of the Day posts on our Facebook, on our Twitter, anywhere that we can get it out to. We link up their website, their Instagram, their Twitters, anything that we can, you know, just trying to give them that maximum exposure. And that goes on from, you know, day one of finished booking to the day before the show. Also along that time, like, I stay in very close contact with all of my artists. I have gained some of the most amazing friends and some people that I call best friends just from working with these wonderful people. And so I stay in very close contact with them. You know, I give them details about everything they'll need to know for the upcoming show. I always try to share any knowledge as far as kind of like what you were saying with the business side of things, you know. Right. I always try. I have an amazing PA production assistant. Her name's Heather McAlpine, and she has come on board recently with this last showcase, and she actually has a degree in art. And so she's been wonderful working with me to put together some kind of like business information to send out to them, because, you know, it is more than just getting them out there in front of the audience. You know, we want to try and provide them that entire rounded experience, you know, give them everything that I can possibly get from myself. But yeah, so I constantly try to give them any help that I can. I try to network with them. We have a great group for anybody who's participated with us. That's kind of a closed group on Facebook where I can share different events coming up that they can submit to be a part of. You know, if there's an opportunity for a contest to, you know, have the design cover of a notebook or something like that, that will be sold in major stores. You know, that's where it goes first, because I want to, you know, past, present, or future, I want them to continue gaining from participating with us. And then basically when we get to the couple weeks before the show, you know, it's just kind of getting the press out there, getting everything in order, you know, making sure those installations are built and secure. And then basically just on the day of, you know, I usually get there about noon and start getting everything set up. Everybody shows up at about 2 o'clock and we just kind of start hanging artwork, getting everybody ready. And just when the shows are going on themselves, the feeling in the room that night, it's something I've never experienced before. It's creative. It's inspiring. And there is so much networking going on. People who are my friends that just attend the shows that have never painted a picture or done anything artistic in their lives still get networking opportunities out of this. Everybody benefits from just like being in that environment, just inspiring. It's very, very cool thing.
How do you all curate the performers and the artists that you have on display? Every showcase, I guess. What's that process like?
So we have an online submissions. That's the main and basic way to go about being in one of our showcases. I also do a little bit of scouting, of course. I always do that for every showcase. But basically, as long as anybody submits to our website, they have to submit to, of course, to the Atlanta location. It comes to my inbox. I kind of go through it all and just kind of start calling from there.
Caitlin, talk about some of the benefits that the artists get after they go through their performance in terms of the future benefits that, I mean, you mentioned part of it is getting information or access to information from you and maybe even from other artists, but talk about what happens from an infrastructure level after they've performed and been a part of one of your exhibitions.
Absolutely. So every artist that participates with us, we have an in-house photographer and videographer that come out to our events and document absolutely every moment that there is to the night. All of our artists get a headshot, two different style headshots from our photographer. They also get editorial style photos of their work in the show. Our photographer goes around and she takes individual pictures of each piece of their work so that they can take these, put them on websites and fan pages and things like that. They're professional. They're not logoed or watermarked. They're completely clean. So, you know, they can continue using these forever. Also, every artist that participates with us gets a video interview that will have clips of their work of the night, whether it's a performance, whether they are a jewelry designer, maybe a visual artist. It'll have all of that edited into it, as well as, of course, clips of the night and all of the excitement. But it's really just their opportunity to talk to their audience, you know, tell them about themselves and where that audience can find their work and find them, you know. And then also one of the main things that every artist that participates with us gets is once they've actually done a showcase with us here in Atlanta, they get the opportunity to go and showcase in one of our other major cities commitment free. And so, you know, they could go to New York, they can go to LA, Miami, anywhere in between, anywhere that we exist. Just basically, they kind of let me know where they want to go, and I put them in contact with that director, and we kind of make the magic happen from there.
Is there a time frame on that, or does it exist just in perpetuity?
Nope. As long as they have participated with us, then they just let us know. There's no time limit.
Margaret, what are some of the obstacles that you see artists struggling with right now in terms of either A, building a better art practice, or on the business side of maintaining and thriving in Atlanta?
I think we all generally would start with funding. because that is something that is very critical to the arts here in Atlanta. And as an arts advocate, something that, you know, we're always up against in terms of the funding just on a whole as it relates to the city. So for artists, I'd have to say that might be one of those like main things that it's almost like a general where everybody's thinking, okay, you know, how can I get access to actually produce my work and, you know, still pay my bills and find success in it. I think another issue that I would say in terms of the funding, that can be solved. It's just a matter of where you're looking. But I think also as well, sometimes we work very insular here in Atlanta. And so just that exposure, which is something that you're providing. But that exposure, depending on what medium you are and opening yourself up to that. So we tend to kind of work in our groups and stay in our circles. But kind of like that cross-pollination and that collaborative working and getting to know one another, because there could be more opportunities that exist once you do that. What was the other part of this question? I'm sorry.
Let's move on. Because I forget to. It may come back to me.
Okay. And if I think of it, I will totally come back to it as well.
No problem. But Margaret, on that point, to talk about different experiences, you recently took a train ride.
Yes.
Talk about that train ride.
Oh, an amazing train ride. So this is my first attempt to allowing my artistic side, which isn't completely my artistic side, but it is a merge between the business part of me and the dreamer part of me and the person who really would like to live an artist's life. So I had this amazing opportunity to participate in a program called the Millennials Trains Project. And essentially, I discovered it when I went up to D.C. for inauguration, and they were having an art show. And, of course, I was like, oh, wow, I'm finding out about it in Atlanta, but I know I'm going to be in D.C. I want to make sure that I check out the show. So I actually attended, and I saw quite a few of my friends' work from D.C. I saw their artwork in the show. So I come back to Atlanta, and a couple months later, they put out this, you know, opportunity. If you're a visionary and you have an idea that relates to social impact and social change, you should consider taking a cross-country trip with us. I had this idea that I'd been boiling over in my mind for like quite a few years and obsessing over and really probably bugging a lot of my friends about, called Art Recess Travel, which is all about using creativity as a tool for social change, for sustainability in your community. So how are we creatively solving issues in our community? How are we generating awareness about it? How are we bringing into focus various things that are happening? So you had to crowdfund your way onto the train. You had to raise $5,000. So I finally, the hardest part, which is possibly one of those things about artists in general, is actually just doing it. That's the hardest part, is saying, okay, I have this great idea and let me put it out there and let me see what happens. And so that's exactly what I did. I took a leap of faith and I put the idea out there, and I was able to crowdfund and raise my $5,000 and participate in the journey. And essentially, I was on this train with 23 other amazing millennials, because you had to be a millennial. And of course, I was at the cusp of being kicked out. But I was on this train with 23 other amazing, young, inspiring, visionary individuals. And we went to 7 cities in 10 days. And every time you stopped in a city, you stopped at a HubSpot, which were generally like these digital co-working spaces, which also just gave me inspiration when I came back to Atlanta about our co-working spaces and the impact that these particular spaces could really have to our economic base and tourism base. But I digress. So you go to each one of these cities, and when you're in that city, you actually implement your project. So it turned out to be, because of the time factor, you were doing a lot of collection, gathering, interviewing, whatever it is that you do as it related to your project. So I had the opportunity to stop in these cities and meet some amazing people who are using their creativity, whatever that might be, whether it is design, whether it is ballet and dance, whether it is a mural arts program. I was able to stop in cities and meet people who are using their creative talents, influence, resources to really build their community up. And within that, it's providing some type of sustainability for that particular, you know, group that they're working with, the community at large, and it's also benefiting the city, you know, overall. So it was a great opportunity. And now I'm back in Atlanta and I'm looking to keep it going.
Sounds pretty awesome. Very awesome indeed. And with that, and I think we can continue this sort of round robin conversation. I want to get you two to give some perspective on how to get your work, or how to gain access for your work beyond Atlanta, because Margaret, you mentioned you come from D.C., or you had some access to D.C. Mm-hmm. from working there previously, mm-hmm. and you took this trip cross-country mm-hmm. and got to see a lot of people. Caitlin, you're a part of Raw Atlanta, but Raw artists in terms of a very large network. If artists are engaged in their work locally but are looking to get beyond Atlanta, or looking to expand their access to funding, to customers, fans, patrons, all of the above, what are some of the things you think they should be looking at? Just whether it's from your own personal perspective or where you sit professionally, just what are some of your thoughts on that?
So, of course, you know, I'll plug for a moment. If sure. you are a part, if you ever are to join a part of Raw Artists Atlanta or Raw Artists in general, of course, you do get that out-of-state showcase. There's step number one. You know, it's we're providing you a free showcase out of this, out-of-state to just really continue networking yourself and getting yourself out there. If there's anything from my personal experience, as far as going out and finding my own dreams, you know, outside of Atlanta, outside of just your general vicinity, is you just have to constantly, constantly be looking for those opportunities. They are never going, you know, you might have the opportunity that they just fall into your lap. And mm-hmm. that is phenomenal, and that is wonderful. And congratulations to anybody that has ever happened to. But at the same time, those people were out there looking at the beginning of it before it fell into their lap. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just have to constantly be promoting yourself. That's one of the best things as an artist that I've experienced that you can learn how to do is promoting yourself. That is step number one. Beyond that, it's where you come in and knowing the business side of it, knowing how to promote yourself to that audience, to outside of Georgia. I forgot the rest of the question.
Well, I'll pick up with you because, you know, that's why I said, so my little magic, right, how I make my magic happen. One, I told you I volunteer a lot. I volunteer a lot and I talk to people. I take a real interest in what other people have going on and what they're doing. And I try to like wean from that. What could I be doing, or what more could I be doing to get myself out there? Because, you know, there's always that thing of, oh, I could talk about myself, but you don't want to be like borderline, like narcissistic and, you know, come off like a jerk. Yeah. So you really just, it's taking this, you know, approach where it is, I'm interested in what you have going on. I'll share with you what I have going on. Let me make sure that I volunteer. And it is very important, exactly what you said, that things don't fall in your lap. You have to look for it. And in looking for it, that means that in whatever it is that you're doing, look at the landscape. Look at what other people are doing. Look at what they're doing overseas, you know, what they're doing in other communities. Maybe there's an artist that you like. Research that artist. Look and see how maybe their team went about doing things. Like I follow trends too. So, you know, going into quite geek modem for a moment. So, right, I follow trends. I read a lot of news and I am always trying to find out like what's next. What's hot. So the people that I find who are like early adopters, I follow them intensely. I don't like to say stalk, but I follow them intensely because, you know, they're going to give you some, just a little jewel, and you might be able to take that and run with it. And so the opportunities are there, but sometimes you have to dig for them. But if people don't know what you're interested in, which is exactly what you said in terms of making sure that you're always, you know, talking about what your ideas are and branding yourself, then they'll never think of you when something does pop up. And that is something that I find like the magic in. When you're sharing with someone, they're sharing with you, somewhere down the line, you get a call or you get an email that says, hey, I thought of you because this came across my desk. I mean, that's where the magic happens. So you have to communicate and you have to seek out opportunities. And there is the internet, this thing called the internet that is completely open. Okay. that's also one of those ways when you're talking about your raw artists, like that is a platform in itself. And so just being mindful of that, back to the business end of it, is whatever it is that you are doing, be mindful of that when you put it out there on the internet, because people go back and they Google and they find things out, and you have to always be able to be prepared to stand in that, whether it is good or it is bad. In the PR world, we like to say good or bad. It always makes good press and it makes, you know, good story. But that's not really always the case. you know, it is press and whatnot, but you want to put yourself out there in a certain type of fashion. And so you just be mindful of that as you're putting things out about yourself to the internet and how you present yourself to other people. But communication is key.
Communication is key.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by Octane Coffee. For more information, please visit octanecoffee.com. With that being said, I think, Margaret, you're presenting a very holistic way of approaching an artist's life. And I think that, Caitlin, you're presenting some good structure, you know, in terms of being able to get yourself and your work beyond your area code. Raw artists, locations all over the world now. Internet, as you mentioned, Margaret, clearly all over the world now. but I think that those represent some structure and then some more like things that can add to that and really help support that in a very productive way. So I wanted to give you all the chance to ask each other some questions as you've learned more about each other so that our audience might hopefully learn more about what you're thinking about.
Well, okay, so great. So I wanted to just inquire about those who are artists who are participating. What has been maybe some of your success rates? Like, have you seen some artists who started off showcasing and now they are doing like these really amazing, like, what's been maybe one of those like mind-blowing artists that it was like, that's our baby?
Well, I have two that come to mind in particular. One, we had an artist in the very first showcase. Their company name was Bohemian Guitars. And what they do is they take old oil cans and make fully functioning electric guitars out of these oil cans.
Oh, my God. I need to meet them.
They are amazing.
Yes.
And they were just starting their Kickstarter campaign when they came, when we came about and were introduced. And after the showcase, our actually headquarters selected them to spotlight them on our homepage of the website. So that definitely kind of helped them get that word out there. And a few months later, I mean, they have gotten their guitars in hands of Robert Plant. I mean, some truly inspiring, amazing people. And these boys have just taken off in the last 6 months. It has been amazing to see them across their journey. And I still keep in contact with them, so that is always great to hear everything. Another one, she has actually, Anita Cody of Angel Green Eyes. She is amazing. She is an accessories designer here in Atlanta. She's participated with us twice now in this season, and so she finally took her out-of-state showcase out to New Orleans last month. Her and a couple of the other artists that were in the same showcase as her went out there and did the whole shebang, and she not only got great feedback, had great sales there, but she got another opportunity to showcase in one, if not two, different local boutiques in New Orleans. So now, by taking that opportunity and taking advantage of those opportunities mm-hmm. that she's been offered, as you were saying before, she's out there. She's outside of Georgia. She's still back here and living in Atlanta, but she is now showing and selling her work outside of Georgia.
Right. And so, okay, so here's one of those things, right, that I always make sure that I like to bring up when we talk about, it's not necessarily that we're saying be amazing artists and leave Georgia, okay?
No.
That we're not saying that at all. A big part of one of those kind of like issues is that, you know, we do have amazing artists who are here and they do leave a lot, right? So how to engage these artists to make them feel as though this is the place that you need to be. You can go and you can visit and you can do business and you can be successful.
But come back.
Yes.
Exactly.
Please.
Come back, because that's the only way that we're going to build and make this arts community a strong, viable community that drives a lot of other areas, you know, in mm-hmm. terms of the kind of like the economics of the city and the landscape of the city, and how much, you know, again, we continue to get funded to do this work in the city. So that's just in terms of retention of amazing artists. I am very much of that, like, let's figure it out and let's make sure that those resources are here. Mm-hmm. And again, that's why these spaces that we have yeah. are so important.
Absolutely.
Because if artists don't feel like they have what they need, then they will leave, because they want to be in an area where they feel like they can thrive. You can thrive here in Atlanta. I mean, we have a lot that's happening here in terms of entertainment and film and everything else. And we just need to make sure that however we are able to galvanize as a collective, okay, of arts individuals, you know, how we kind of stick our, you know, pole in the grass right here and say that this is our territory. And I think that that comes about kind of why Art Recess Travel exists, is because that cross-pollination, you know, we need to be talking mm-hmm. to architects, we need to be talking to designers. That was one of the people that I had an opportunity to interview when I was in Chicago. This, you know, lady who, her name is Melanie Call, and she's with the Third Teacher, or she teaches based off a principle called the Third Teacher. And it's basically saying, okay, kids, their environments, and they grow up, their first teachers are their parents and their friends and, you know, all this family. But then once you get into the school setting, that is the third teacher. And how is that space conducive for the time and age that we're in right now for learning? So that goes into, like, you know, sustainable schools, and the various ways in which her being a designer can transform the way that you teach and you learn. So it's those type of things that you see it happening in other cities. Mm-hmm. I believe it can happen right here in Atlanta. I believe a lot of that is happening here in Atlanta, but it needs to be pushed to the forefront so that people see what all the rich resources we have here, so that you don't feel like you have to go away. It's good to go away and get some business because we all need to make some money.
Yes.
But let's channel that energy and feed it back into the community, so you're setting up for the next generation of, you know, activists and arts enthusiasts and philanthropists and cultural, you know, seekers, and making this be a hot spot because everything else is here. You have a big, like, Fortune 500s and all these companies and all of this other stuff. Like, I mean, there's just a lot of opportunity here that we can take advantage of, is all I'm saying.
Any more questions?
Oh, sorry. any questions?
I don't have any questions, but I do definitely want to network a little bit more after this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have some ideas spinning around in my head.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I might have a couple more questions, but they're not coming to me at this exact moment. I would like to, I mean, can I pose a question to you?
Sure, I'm here.
Okay, great.
Okay. I'm here.
So, of course, this is a product of Wonderroot, and Wonderroot is one of these gems that we have in Atlanta as well, from the art and the activism side. So just in terms of your place and what you feel that Wonderroot is also contributing to this ecosystem is very important. So I'd like for you to just tell us a little bit more and why you even have something like this.
Well, I think that's a very fair question, and I'm glad you asked, actually. Wonderroot really tries to be fertile ground for a lot of things in a lot of spaces in the arts and culture and community and advocacy areas. And even this podcast for us was a great vehicle, we thought, to be able to give some conversation to a lot of these different things, to be able to hopefully let our voice and perspective jump off of the page on the webpage and be able to give some soul to these conversations. We have these conversations often in these walls about art and opportunities and giving artists both space as well as support. So if you ever come to Wonderroot, and I encourage everyone to come to Wonderroot, you'll see the space for artists to create. Mm-hmm. Our digital media lab, our dark room, our recording studio where we are right now, all of the actual physical space. But then a lot of magical things happen in this space where artists cross paths, artists dialogue, artists find ways to work together and support each other. So I think that that's that other element that happens when you put a lot of creative people in a space together who are creating at the same time, then you get this amazing magic that tends to happen. I think once things go beyond that, we're in a space where we're trying to always create opportunities for artists to succeed. So we have fellowship programs like the Walk the Artist Fellowship. We have experiences like the Wonderroot CSA, where we're trying to invest in and develop this vehicle to really breathe some life into the arts ecology, where you have artists who are creating work for shareholders. We also have the Wonderroot Index, which is a weekly exhibit that essentially is a pop-up experience that takes place at the East Atlanta Village Farmers Market every Thursday. There's the Wonderroot film night, the generally local, mostly independent film night, also exists to really give a lot of local filmmakers support, to have that community of fellow filmmakers to create work that you have to have to really learn from, because filmmaking is an art that takes a mm-hmm. lot of intense effort mm-hmm. to really get the value and create great product. So we're invested in a lot of different ways in the arts, you know, ecology here in Atlanta, mm-hmm. from both the creation side, the support side, the advocacy side. So for us, again, going back to this podcast, we hopefully, and our listeners, I think, can agree with this, we're really trying to give a lot of artists the platform to learn more, to be more, and continue to grow as artists in Atlanta, so that you can go and create and make great work elsewhere, but still stay here.
Right, right.
And maintain Atlanta as a home base. So that's kind of where I see things as far as what we're doing right now. We have a lot of things in the air, from Loose Change Magazine, which is our literary online magazine, to Wonder Root Creative Reuse, which is, mm-hmm. you know, the environmental justice part of it. There are lots of bands that pass through and perform. So we have a lot of moving parts, but I think with that, we have a lot of opportunity and a lot of responsibility to continue to invest in the city and the arts and culture community that hopefully will advance Atlanta as a city in general, not just the arts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so
that was a very long answer, by the way.
No, that was a great answer. That was a great answer, which brings me back around to you, Caitlin. And just looking at, again, kind of like that carbon footprint and your social impact through this work that you're doing, is there any, I'm big on, like, is there any give back component? Because when you mentioned the guys, like, I immediately thought, oh my gosh, like, they're helping, you know, to recycle. They might not be thinking of it like that, but, you know, you're reusing, essentially, and creating something that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Just thinking about that in a bigger grand scheme of things as, like, the company, like, do you guys have any type of initiatives like that? And if not, are they on the horizon?
Well, we do. We have a program on a nationwide level. It's optional for every location to participate. But what we call it is Rocketeers. So we love trying to influence kids, get them into the arts world, let them be creative, because there's not every school has those art programs anymore. It's hard to find it now. So what we do is, you know, any artist that has participated with us, any of our raw artists, can come back, and we set up these workshops. We usually pair up with a Boys and Girls Club of whatever location. And we do, like, these little workshops. You know, we'll have a musician come in and kind of mess around on the guitar with them. We'll have visual artists come in and do paint sessions and things with them. You know, just whatever each artist's category may be, kind of thing. We have them come in and just get in there. It's a day-long thing. They work with the kids all day, and that's one of the main ways that we give back to the community. Here in Atlanta, personally, I was fortunate enough to be invited to come in and join an amazing musical, cultural, and arts festival called Unitas. It was up at Cherokee Farms about 2 hours away a few weeks ago. And I kind of took this Rocketeers idea and made it kind of a little bit smaller, but basically brought it in and made a kids' painting area. You know, we got all the supplies together. I made 2 pieces of 4x4 mural area for them to just go wild on. Because, you know, the festival themselves wanted to create a family-friendly environment, and they came to me, and we kind of collaborated on this idea. And once the kids found it, oh my gosh, let me say that they loved it. One of the things that's warmed my heart the most about it was there was one kid that I overheard that was just like, oh my gosh, I love painting now, this, that, and the other. And as soon as his mom came back over, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to share this with you. I told her all about it. Turns out that she's a painter herself, and she always tries to get him to come in her studio and paint with her and this, that, and the other. And he just never was like, oh, that's not cool, you know, da, da, da. And so now, you know, hopefully, even if it was just that one child, you know, maybe we've helped inspire them to be creative and touch into that side of things. And, you know, also at that festival, we had the opportunity to set up a live art gallery. I had several artists that had participated with us in the past that had already been selected to be a part of this festival because they wanted to add the art aspect to it. And I was able to come in and, you know, we brought some of the installations that we use for the showcases. We brought them there so they could hang multiple work, not just, you know, set up their easel by a stage and paint kind of thing. It was a huge tent, and it was definitely one of the most creative spaces in the festival itself. It was directed right next to the main stage, so the artists got in there and they got creative. They even started collaborating with each other. There was artists from all over the East Coast, and they were all coming in and working together and, you know, I mean, just networking in general. And so it's, you know, I personally always try to find any opportunity like this that I can to, you know, give back where I can. But yeah, that's...
Do artists have to be, is there a particular genre that you look for with the artists that you showcase?
We really, no. Basically, we, so the categories that we have are technically film, fashion, music, photography, visual art, performing art, hair, and makeup artistry.
Oh.
These are the main categories that we have and that we spotlight. But, I mean, let's talk about performing artists for a moment. That is the broadest category that you could have. We've had spoken word artists. We had an amazing actress do a monologue last night. We've had dancers. We've had choreographers who have choreographed pieces and had dancers come in and do her work. You know, we haven't had any comedians or aerial artists yet, but that's been there. We've had fire dancers, you know, anything like that. I have brought a pastry chef in before, getting the culinary arts in there because that's still an art form.
Yes.
And then, you know, visual art, you can have sculptors, you can have painters, you can have sketch artists, you know, just, I mean, we don't have anything in particular. You know, if you're local and you're amazing at what you do, I want you to come here and I want to help you get to where you need to be.
I like that. I like that. And then one more for you, Floyd. I'm not taking over. Okay.
But are you sure?
More. Listen, I just.
Okay, go ahead.
With Wonder Root
and
its social impact and its influence and a lot of the work that you guys do, is it only going to be this Atlanta, like metropolitan area based, or are there plans to move, you know, or somewhere talks, discussions about moving that out a little bit outside of the perimeter and going to kind of, you know, other cities and local cities throughout the state of Georgia? Because obviously, you know, we come back around to, you know, you have Georgia Public Broadcasting, and when you're looking at entities like that and you're looking to work with them, they look at arts from a state perspective, and you know, we are just one city within this huge state. So I know that that's just an area I'd be curious to learn a little bit more about.
I think the short answer is yes. I think the long answer is, as our bandwidth permits that,
mm-hmm.
we are always in conversation with other entities around the city as well as the state. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I do want to point out, Wonder Root is not necessarily in the business, quote unquote, business of creating programming. We are really in a space where we want to partner with other organizations to create programming.
Mm-hmm.
So from our standpoint, it's not about creating things for the community. It's creating things with the community.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are other entities, groups, individuals that are outside the perimeter, I mean, anywhere in the Atlanta area, we are open to having those conversations and are always willing to commit the resources when we can to create those things or bring those things forth with those other entities, because that's what we're about. We don't really try to force the issue. We try to help provide resources, provide support for people and groups of folks who want to create things wherever they are. So that's sort of our stance on that. And as we grow, I think that there'll be more opportunities both around the metro area, and I think that that would and could even expand into a state level initiative. But it's just a matter of scaling up in the right way,
mm-hmm.
in a way that we can continue to do it in the way that we feel like is most effective.
Mm-hmm. Scalability is key. It's when you're trying to do anything, or let alone want someone to invest in your idea. That was one of the main things on that train ride that the mentors who came in spoke to us about, is making sure that whatever your idea is, allow it to blossom, allow it to be great, but always think about scalability. So thank you.
No, thank you. And on that note, Caitlin and Margaret, I do appreciate you all coming in today and giving some great information, and I would love for you all to now, if we haven't covered it already, let everyone else know how they can get in contact with you and learn more about what you have going on. I know Caitlin gave all the information for Raw Atlanta and Raw artists in general. Margaret, let everyone know how they can be in touch with you in your multiple capacities, however that works for you. Let everyone know. But Caitlin, let everyone know how they can get in contact with you.
The best way to get in contact with me is, of course, well, it kind of depends on what you're trying to get in contact with me about. If you're an artist out there looking to get in contact with us to, you know, just find out more about Raw Artists and what we do, or to be a part of one of our showcases, the best thing that you can do is go to rawartists.org/Atlanta. Once you get to that landing page, you'll find a link that says Become a Raw Artist. Click there. You'll be able to submit photos, videos, a biography, all of your links to websites, fan page, Twitter accounts, anything that you have. Be able to link it all up there, and it will come to my inbox, and I'll be able to review it for submission to be in our next upcoming showcase, which, by the way, is October 9th. But beyond that, we're all over Facebook. We have a friend page as well as a business page. Both are called Raw Artists Atlanta. So be on the lookout for that. You can contact me through Facebook Messenger there if that's easier for you, and I'd be more than happy to give you whatever information I have available.
Margaret.
So I have a website that will be going public in a couple days, so I won't give that information out just yet. However, I have a very interesting last name, so for anyone who wanted to find me, you absolutely could. And the name of my business is called I Wonder Media Group. I as in I wonder about the possibilities. So that's I Wonder Media. That is at I Wonder Media on Twitter. I'm also on Twitter for my personal, which is Margo79. You can find me on Facebook. I'm on Google Plus. I'm on Tumblr as I Wonder Media. And again, my last name is Kargbo, K-A-R-G-B-O. So if you did a search, you would definitely find me in Atlanta. You can find me in the A.
Well, as we close up, Caitlin and Margaret, do you have any final thoughts, any lasting impressions from this conversation that you would love to just speak on for a moment?
For me personally, it has just been great once again to make another connection. I feel like just thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of this, because I feel like you and I can talk and really, you know, kind of figure out how to work together to keep people in Atlanta.
Yes. And
not only give them the knowledge of the business side of it and also the platform to get them out there, but I feel like, you know, we could create a wonderful opportunity to really, you know, help them get their success here and keep their success here.
Absolutely. And I think for myself, I like to have fun, so we can do all of that and have fun. Okay. Let's be about our business. And I just encourage folks to talk to one another, share information, share ideas, because you never know what can happen. And also look for information. There are so many people who possibly can support your dreams and your passions and take it to the next level. So through this conversation, I know we're going to be talking a whole lot more. Thank you again, Floyd. Thank you, Wonder Root, for inviting me. I'm fresh off of my train. So this is an amazing time just in the cosmos altogether. And I'm really, really happy about this special moment. So thank you.
Thank you.
Margaret and Caitlin, thank you both.
Thank you.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by Octane Coffee, with locations on the West Side, Grant Park, the Pocket Bar in the Bank of America Plaza, and even the newest outpost in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information, please visit octanecoffee.com.